So this morning is, I think, 19 years that we've had a Christmas morning service like this. Did you know how awesome this church is? We came in November, I think the second Sunday in November, and we still had a Christmas banquet. So that means we were the new pastors on the block. We came that Sunday, and we said, I think one of the first questions we had, are we having a Christmas banquet this year? And they said, well, you just got here. How are we going to plan it? We have to have a Christmas banquet. And we had our first Christmas banquet, and we all got together. What a way to get to know a congregation right away is when you're all, your sleeves are rolled up and you're all working together, and then you sit down and have a big meal together. It's good. It's a thing of beauty. Amen? So each year I reflect on our first Christmas with Jesus. And in 1989, Linda and I, we both welcomed Christ into our lives, Lord and Savior, at the same time. We were invited to a Pentecostal church in Brampton. The name was Brampton Pentecostal Church. And on our second visit, it was in the evening, and both of us accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that was in January 29th of 1989. So that means that we went through that whole first year of not experiencing Christmas as a born-again believer. But so we used that year to grow and to learn, and before we celebrated our first Christmas with Jesus, and there was a young 8-year-old boy that was in the church, and on that Christmas service morning, he stood before the congregation and he recited from memory Luke chapter 2. So there's 20 verses, and so I'm just kind of like this, you know. Touched my heart so deeply. And we were undone watching this child proclaim Jesus with such love and with such confidence. It really touched my life. And to this day, memories of that young boy, this time of year, I still remember him, you know. I just know that the family's last name are Jacobs, and I think they live somewhere in Alberta now. And quite often I just ask the Lord, just bless them, you know, because the anointing that they carried touched us in our early days. And so this, it continues to put confidence into me, and I have a thankful heart. I have a thankful heart for the awesome people in church that have invested into our life, that have spoken into our life. This morning was amazing, and you have no idea what that's like. You honored us, and that's pretty amazing to be honored, and I honor you, and that's amazing too. Isn't it a thing of beauty to be honored and to be loved? So Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, and may His presence fill your hearts this Christmas season. That's the end of the message. Oh, some are saying, oh, that's nice. Cake. No. But Christmas is about God loving the world so much that He gave His Son. Amen. So that we may have eternal life. If we believe in our hearts and we welcome into our hearts, we could have eternal life. Now, sometimes I've had to get rid of this for a couple of days because I'm a news junkie. And see, I got notifications. Someone just liked the photo of mine. So, but I'm just saying, like, I'm a news junkie. And I like the news. I like, how many of you like news? I like reading the news. But I got to tell you something. All the news that consumes my brain in a given day or in a given week or in a given month or a year, there's no comparison to the news that God landed on this earth. And Jesus Christ is God. There's no news that is better than that. And His birth is when God came to earth. Think about that. Like, I'm not trying to share with you this morning, trying to convince you that that happened. I just know it happened. And when you know it happened and you walk in that, the celebration of Christmas, the walk of walking with the Lord, to recognize the anointing, to recognize his voice, to recognize the gifts of the Spirit, to recognize the fruit of the Spirit when it's activated in your life and in other people's lives, that is amazing. That is amazing. And it all starts because Jesus Christ is God, and his birth is when God came to earth to fellowship with us. And in our modern understanding of the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus was a touching event in a barnyard, animals and shepherds, adoration. But you know what? It's so much more than that. For the Son of God came to seek and to save which was lost. And you know what? I was once lost. How many of you were once lost? And today you can say, because of Jesus Christ, I am no longer lost. I may not still know what I'm talking about, but I'm not lost. Okay? I'm not lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is like, wow. How come they haven't made a song of that verse? They've made songs of other verses in the Bible. We should make a song of that verse. For God so loved. You don't want me to go there. It wasn't called Christmas 2,000 years ago, as we call it Christmas now. But it was about a few people willing to believe the impossible. Mary, Joseph, and the shepherd and the wise men responding and welcoming Jesus. And the site of the birth was very, very simple. How many of you have been to Israel, to Jerusalem? And it was very simple. The celebration was simple. The gifts were simple. Yet their value was priceless. And I learned so much from this narrative, and it has helped me become a committed worshiper of Christ. Joseph, he gave his obedience. That's what Joseph did. He gave his obedience. Mary gave her body. The shepherds gave their adoration. The wise men gave their worship. We are welcoming and honoring the presence of Jesus this morning and believing the goodness of God to continue to help us to connect with each other, to connect with God, to connect with community, and see the transformation of lives before us, further transformation in our own lives, in our own hearts, and then hoping and praying that there will be transformation in other people's lives within our church. Our young children last Sunday, that their lives will continue to be transformed so that they will grow up and they will be strong followers of Jesus Christ. To our spiritual moms and dads in this church that just embrace everything and pray. This is amazing when we understand what Christmas is all about. So what was taking place on that first Christmas Eve? Well, first there was the arrival of Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, their frantic search for quarters, and they're settling down in a shelter that was made for cattle, I think. And the fullness of time had come for Mary. For months she had been pondering in her heart the testimony of the angels, the words of her relative Elizabeth, the angel's assurance to Joseph, and the Old Testament prophecy. She incorporated them into what is called Mary's song. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, it says this, it says, "My soul," after she contemplates everything that's taken place, she is about to give birth to Jesus Christ. And she says this, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." Praise God. God. Mary humbly submitted to the Lord because she had faith that he would keep his promise. That's our God. That's good for us. That's faith. Secondly, there was the virgin birth of Jesus. This was the arrival of the prophetic sign that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Third, there was the appearance of angels to the shepherds. These simple and faithful men believed the prophecies and prepared their hearts. Fourth, in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that some far-off place, their magi, studied the skies, saw the appearance of what was a star that night. And God chose them because of their search for truth. When they saw the star, they somehow knew that the king had been born. Wow, what an amazing story. And most people, you know, I'm an evangelist at heart, okay? And I believe that people are going to come to know Jesus. But the reality of it is, and I don't want to be naive, is that many people in our city and many people in our families will altogether miss the significance of Christmas. Maybe there's some people here this morning and you're visiting or something, and maybe you know what? If you didn't hear what I'm telling you right now, maybe you would miss the significance of Christmas. And how very sad that is. How very sad that is. For those whose hearts are turned to God will see and sense the significance of the birth story. All God ever wanted was to have a love relationship with his people. That's all he ever wanted, right in the Old Testament times. He wanted to have a love relationship with his people. He wanted to be in relationship with each of you, more than just surface. He wanted to have your heart. He wants to be able to commune with us. He wants to be able to whisper into our ear by the Holy Spirit and say, I love you. I love you. When things are crashing all around us, he wants you to have a listening ear to say, I'm with you. I'll get you through this. I love you. Okay? That's our God. That's all he ever wanted. He wanted to have a love relationship with his people. So what will be taking place this Christmas in our hearts? Well, Christmas means a lot to a lot of different people. But what is the real meaning? It's about God loving the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. It's about my heart and your heart responding to him. Amen? Responding to him. Can you just close your eyes and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes. Thank you, Lord, for taking the blinders off my eyes. Thank you for giving me understanding of what the true meaning of Christmas is. It's the child. It's the baby born in a manger. It's Jesus Christ. It's God come to earth. Christmas, folks, is a time of remembering. It's a time of refocusing, of remembering the great love that God has for each of us. He loves us so much. For me, Christmas is remembering the uniqueness of his life, his teachings, his miracles, his prophecies, his death, his resurrection. And once again, remembering all those humble people surrounding the story, like Joseph and Mary and Anna and Simeon and the wise men and the shepherds. And secondly, it's a time of loving. Christmas is really a time of loving. It's not a time of thinking that you're going to love, or thinking that I'll get around to it someday, or that maybe I'll forgive, or maybe I should do it. It's a time of loving. But there's a different kind of loving. If it's not a supernatural loving, it's a forced loving. It's something that we do. It's something that pains us. But when we truly understand what Christ is all about, that type of loving becomes supernatural. It just comes as a natural flow to us. I love you, my brother. Okay? And it's not, I'm not using words to schmooze you or to do anything. I love you because we have the same relationship with the same King of Kings. We have everything in common. And so hopefully this makes us make a special effort to be a little bit kinder, a little bit more considerate of other people. It's time to be reaching out to others with love and with concern. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So let us always remember that he really, really cares about us. And we should care as he cares. Amen? We should really care as he cares. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, and we should care as he cares. And you say, well, I can't care as he cares. You don't know what I went through in my life. You don't know my story. I know I don't know your story, but I know him. And if we know him together, we can love as he loves. And just watch the transformation that will take place in people around us when we love as he loves. Amen. Amen. It's amazing. So we should care as he cares. We should love as he loves. Also, Christmas is a time of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Okay, day by day, those who receive him are being transformed into his image. There's nothing that is more incredible. I had someone in my office this week, and I was sitting there, and I was praying, and I was saying, oh, Lord, I don't know where the blinders are on this person's eyes. I said, I don't know, Lord. You got to show me. So I looked, and I just explained. I just loved on this person, and I just shared the gospel with this person. And then I looked over at my blinds in my office, and we were talking about the blinders on eyes. And I stood up. I said, come over here to my window. And I was thanking the Lord for this illustration. And I went and I started to pull up my blinds. And I said, as I pull up the blinds, you show me, you tell me where to stop as I pull them up on the window to show me what level of the blinders that have come off your eyes. And we were almost to the top, and he said, okay, stop there. And I said, praise the Lord. There's only that much more to go. And I said, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And all I did was I cared as he cared. I gave as he gave. You know, it's a time of giving. It's a time of forgiving. It's a time of forgiving. It's a time of rescuing. Without Jesus, we have no life. I have no life without Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even imagine. We work hard. Yes, we work hard. Many people work hard here, okay? You know, we get honored at this time of year. We work hard. Everyone works hard. My motto is we should work hard, play hard, okay? Whether you make $2 an hour or you make $200 an hour, your work ethic should never change. You should just work hard and you should play hard. And you should give everything that you can to do the best that you can. It's just the way it is. You know, there's no time for laziness. If you go to school, study hard. You know, it's a privilege. This is a privilege what I do. This is a privilege what I do. And so without God, there's no life. Headed for eternity without God. It's terrible. Christmas, it's a time of changing. Because Jesus Christ changes us. He makes us new creatures. With Jesus, all things become new. Amen? And Christ changes us for the better. For the better. And finally, Christmas is a time of rejoicing. He alone is worthy of our worship. Amen? He alone. Yesterday, I found a playlist in Apple Music by So Zoll, and it was all the top Christmas songs by all the Christian authors, so Michael W. Smith and all of them. Anyways, it was 3 hours and 39 minutes. It was like 75 songs, and I think we played it through twice in our house through the day. And we just filled our house with this time. It's a time of worship. It's about responding to him. Christmas was about a few people, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men responding. So how does the coming of Christ into the world, what does it mean to you this morning? What does it mean to you this morning? How have you received him this morning as your Lord and Savior? Have you invited him into your life? What about you? If I was to pull up the blind right now and you were looking at the blind going up, where are you as the blinders are lifted off your eyes to understand who he is? Okay, I'm pulling it up. I'm pulling it up. It's about a quarter of the way up right now. It's about half. Are you examining your heart? Okay, I'm going a little higher. Where are you? Where the blinders are? Have the blinders come off of your eyes this morning to be able to understand spiritually what is taking place in here? That we are in need of a Savior, that we are in need of a holy God who communes with us, who builds us up, who will never let us down, who will never use a word of sarcasm on you, who will always be there for you, who will put supernatural love in your heart that you didn't even know you were capable of speaking into someone's life, and all of a sudden you speak it and you say, where did that come from? You go, thank you, Lord. What does the coming of Christ mean to you? So here's the thing. The gift of Jesus is real. Amen? Jesus came in a person. He didn't come to us as a religion. He didn't come to us as a set of laws. He came to us in a person, and his love for us is personal. And through his birth, death, resurrection, Jesus brings us into a personal embrace of passionate and loving God. So what do we do with this? So what do we do with this information? We also bring the gift of his love to others. And during this season, we emphasize hope and peace and joy and love, which God sent with Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you something. I'm going to close with this. I pray for you often. I pray for you often that you will experience supernatural hope, peace, joy, and love. Let me tell you something. In 2009, they had a group that came across Canada in buses and coaches. And some of you know this story and some of you don't. And this was the last stop at Gateway Church. People from all over the country, the place was full. Our parking lot was full of buses before we all went to Ottawa. And we worshiped God in Ottawa as a nation in 2009. And I had a pastor, his name is Doug Snyder, and he's the pastor of the church in Oshawa, the big church, the embassy in Ottawa. And he stayed at our house. And we thought we were pretty good around here, you know, we're fast-tracking our mortgage, and we were doing some pretty good things. And he stood at our house. He says, so Ken and Linda, tell me all about your church. So I did. I said, oh, yeah, it's really amazing, you know, because we're telling another pastor, you're not going to tell him it's terrible, right? So he goes, okay. He goes, tell me about the prayer life in your church. And I just stopped. And he goes, that's the same response I get from most pastors. And I went on a journey from 2009 until about 3 or 4 years ago of really trying to understand what it is to really pray for somebody. About 3 or 4 years ago, we began a prayer ministry in this church that I'm telling you is like a boiler room. It's bulletproof, okay? It's a place where we discern evil spirits, and they're not allowed in this house, okay? Only the Spirit of God is allowed in this house, amen? So when I tell you that I am always praying for each of you, that your life will be supernaturally filled with hope and peace and joy and love, I'm not giving you words, okay? I'm giving you what takes place in the boiler room in this church. And I'm telling you that we cover you in prayer, that the anointing of God will be so evident in your life that it'll grip you. That it'll grip you and it'll hold you. Because Christ came the first time, we can now live with hope and peace and joy and love. And not the one that they put on the Christmas cards, but I'm talking about the supernatural one. So glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Amen. Amen.